You're listening to the Lawn Care Together podcast. We share tips, tricks, and mishaps of our lawn care business journey and the stories of others. This podcast is about getting your business off the ground, setting yourself up for success, and taking care of your clients. We're here to learn together, grow together, lawn care together. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. To the Lawn Care Together podcast. I hope everybody is doing well today on this lovely June 20th. Happy Monday. I hope, you know, it's going to be a killer one for you out there today. We are going to be spreading some mulch today, finally catching up on our mulch jobs that we've had scheduled for the last few weeks now. And so we had told everybody that they would get done mid to late June. And, you know, we're actually going to be able to get, I think, two done today, maybe one or two done tomorrow as well. And it's just going to be good for us to finally be caught up on the mulch jobs. You know, the landscape stuff is where the money's at. And we're going to talk about that today in the show. And we're going to, you know, touch on why, you know, landscaping might be a more profitable but less consistent type of work for you. And then you can determine whether or not, you know, that's the kind of branch that you want to go into, or if you're more of a if you want to be landscape or if you want to be mowing. It's what it comes down to. And so we, as a smaller company right now, focus more on lawn care than we do on landscaping. And the reason is it's consistent. We have the time, we know we can do it, but anytime we do landscape projects, and I'm just talking mulch, weeding, hedge trimming, that stuff's where the money's at, because we have a man hour rate that we need to make. And so we bid the job according to that. And we always make the man hour rate that we need to make then. If you're mowing, you know, something slows you down, something breaks, something does this, something does that, you don't ever necessarily make your rate when there's problems. So what we have experienced is that landscaping is always hyper profitable versus the lawn care stuff, but know whether or not you are going to be consistent is kind of nice on our weekday schedule where we have our jobs and we need to work. I don't work Monday through Friday. I was going to say work Monday through Friday, but where you're going to be working and know that, like, okay, I'm going to get done at 3 o'clock and then I'm going to go mow and I'm doing these three lawns and it's going to take me 3 hours. Or 2 hours. It all depends. But to know how much time you have on those lawns versus a bit of 2 hour landscape project, it might turn into three. Who knows? It could actually work better to just be landscaping. And I actually talked to a friend from high school the other day, and he also has a lawn care business in our area. And he was telling me that he mainly focuses on landscaping. He does, I think he said it was 4 days a week. He has his other job 3 days a week that he has like 12-hour days so that he can work doing landscaping the rest of the time. And he was telling me that, well, one, he can't find help because nobody wants to accept $20 an hour right now. And that's crazy because, you know, I went to college and, you know, I'm barely making over that at my actual job after doing, you know, the whole 4-year degree thing. And labor is intense, it's exhausting and all that, and, you know, my job comes with other benefits, but the fact that, like, you can't get a high school kid to come out, or like a freshly graduated high school kid to come out and landscape with you for $20 an hour is just astounding to me. When I was, here I am, I sound old. When I was a kid, I think I worked for, like, you know, 10 bucks an hour. So we're offering double that, and it's, you know, less than 10 years later. So the fact that you can't get people is just, like, astounding, because they've realized that your time off is kind of worth the money. I go back a couple episodes and I talk about, you know, getting the work done or finding someone to do the work for you. And, you know, that might have some truth to it. like, these kids might be better off just not actually, you know, having to mow and having to do landscaping and just hang out with their friends, because one, they're going to enjoy that more, obviously. But also, they're going to eventually figure out what their time is worth to them. So if you want to make a certain amount of money to cover your time, so like me, I would say that, like, I want to make at least $50 an hour to cover my time. And if that includes benefits and stuff like that, and maybe I want more eventually, like, our man hour rate 75, and I really want 75 going to my pocket and the company to be making more money than that. So who knows? But maybe I'm greedy, but maybe I also own my own business and I want to be successful and I want to have a lot of money so that my family can do things. So you can figure out whether or not I'm being greedy, or you can just, you know, think about what you would want for your family and think about what's your why and why do you own your company and work as hard as you do. So, and why do you work as hard as you do when you could make more money doing something that's easier? That's where it kind of all comes down to it for me. I don't really enjoy the idea of working for somebody else for a lot of money, or for not a lot of money, and then knowing that you could do something else for more money for yourself, make your schedule, which obviously, if you're working for yourself and making your own schedule, you have to put in the work. You have to, you know, work hard. You have to go out and do it every single day. You have to keep yourself consistent and push yourself when times get tough. And if then you start hiring people and it gets a little bit easier, but a little bit harder in the same way. And so when you have people that are working for you, you know, you're worried about them. You're worried about other things. You're, you know, more mistakes happen because you're not focusing on the job as much as they would focus, or they're not focusing as much as you would. And that's to be, you know, expected. They're going to, it's a whole, like, they'll probably work 80% better, or you would work 100%. They'll work about 80%, but, you know, you need that other amount of time to go work on other things in the business to make it grow. And 80% is good enough for almost all customers. Your standards are probably just high. So, you know, it gets, that's what I'm saying, where it gets a little bit harder, but it gets a little bit easier, because it's harder to let people do the work for you, but it's easier because you now have more time to do other stuff. This is a jam-packed episode with a little bit about, you know, find your why, why it's better to have somebody with you, and then back into landscaping versus lawn care. The landscaping doesn't really require initially very much equipment. So you can buy a shovel, you can buy a rake, you could spread some mulch, right? Pitchfork, you could spread some mulch. If you have a truck, you could, you know, pick up the mulch. If you want to pick up bushes, you can, things like that, you can, you know, put that in for customers. And really upcharge on that stuff. And, you know, bed prep is probably the worst part of mulching. Getting everything set up to actually put the mulch down, you know, weeding. And you know, I like to put down a fabric. I know it's not really something that's worth it when you're, it's good for rocks. It's not good for mulch, but a lot of the times we'll put down a fabric just to smother any remaining weeds that are underneath there that, like, you couldn't pull, or you couldn't pull all the way. And what that allows us to do then is keep it fresh for a little bit longer when we cover it up. And yes, seed pods and stuff are going to fall down on it, and weeds are going to grow, and mulch deteriorates into dirt. I get that. My customers get that. We're transparent about that. We give them the option of whether they want to put mulch barrier down, but we do it mainly because it delays a little bit of weeds from popping up. And then, you know, we'll put down some preen or something like that. And so this way we're not getting weeds coming back, but we are also preventing weeds that are already there from continuing to grow. And that is another thing, like, it takes a little bit of time. It's a man hour rate. Weeding takes longer, like, getting the bed ready takes way longer than actually laying the mulch. And so you can also consider, like, well, where's the mulch being placed? Is it like right out in front of the house? Can you drive the truck up to it? Can you, do you have to wheelbarrow across the property? Like, how inconvenient is it to spread the mulch? And that's going to determine how long you're at the job. And then when you determine how long you're going to be at the job, you can determine about how much it would cost. And so if you say like, okay, we can normally spread 3 yards an hour or 4 yards of mulch an hour. And then you have to scale back and think like, okay, well, we got 12 yards, so we could probably do this in between 3 and 4 hours. So, you know, if you add in the time to go pick stuff up and the time to, you know, talk to the customer about the project and all these things that you're trying to like factor in, you're like, all right, it's probably about like 5 hours. So then you can charge your 5 hour rate. And if you're doing it with two guys, now you got 10 hours into it. So say, you know, if you just do your man hour rate, $750. If we, what we kind of transition to is doing mulch by the yard, we're at $125 installed for our yards of mulch. So $125 a yard installed. So say just 12 yards of mulch. I mean, that increases it significantly, right? Because, now we're getting enough money for our equipment, our labor, and the mulch. It pays for everything. And then we'll also charge for like the weed barrier and anything like that separately, but we don't mark that stuff up. It's just, it's all part of the $125. Maybe we could mark it up, but we don't. So we want the customer to know what they're getting when they shop with us. We tell them $125 a yard installed, and then there's a couple other materials that we will charge, like weed barrier and this and that. It's $40, $50. Pins, you know, $50. But yeah, I mean, what's 12 times 125? So that's 1,300? No. 1,500. I did the math wrong in my head. 300 plus 1,200, right? You know, break it up. That's a pretty good payday. And so I don't think we're doing that much today, but well, maybe in the two separate jobs we are. So that'll be pretty sweet. You know, get a $1,500 day, and then there'll probably still be time for mowing if I want to go out and mow tonight. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be quite the day for us. You know, I got two brothers, all hands on deck. It is a Monday after Father's Day. So hopefully all you fathers out there had a good day. Happy belated Father's Day. You know, I had a phenomenal day with my family. I got to, well, my fiance and daughter actually detailed the truck. It's just getting a little dirty, you know, when you don't have time to clean it, and like the pollen and stuff starts to build up on the dashboard, and it was getting nasty. So they did that for me. And while they were doing that, my dad and I actually finally put up racks and a table and stuff to hold the tools in the enclosed trailer. So now that looks awesome. And that was like a Father's Day present to each other for me and him. So like now we just feel better. We feel like a more legitimate company. We had our racks for a while. Well, we had our old racks, and we just had to figure out a way to get them to stand up in the enclosed trailer. Cause what we found out is that you can't just go flush against the wall, because then the racks don't come out far enough for the weed whackers, and they don't have brackets with it. And so like we figured all this out and, you know, made it work for us. Got the hedge trimmer up on the wall. We got all of the just like the lawn tools, you know, shovel, rake, the combi system attachments and stuff like that into the wall. And then the table on the front. So now we have a workbench in the enclosed trailer that we've been talking about. That's half the reason we wanted to buy the trailer to begin with, was to be able to put a workbench in there. And then we also hung the weed whacker line, so, or the string trimmer line. So now we have that in there. It's going to be a little bit easier for us to restring things, but we'll see. Sorry, I heard somebody behind me, and I thought somebody went up the steps or something, or came down the steps. And I'm like looking, watching. Nobody ever came down. I looked around the house just now. I went to the kitchen, and no one's in there. Went to the steps, no one was on the steps, all the doors upstairs are closed. So that was kind of freaky, because it sounded, I swear to God, someone came up or down the steps, and I see nobody, and no sign of recent life besides my dog, who's been sitting on the couch this entire time. So who knows what that was, but kind of freaky. I don't know. You guys ever experienced something like that where you have somebody or you hear something or you think there's something there? It's like those phantom vibrations that you get with like a phone. Same thing. It's like you think something happened. You think your phone vibrated. You think somebody walked by. Like you feel like you're being watched or something. Those are the crazy things. Oh man, feel like you're being watched. That's a good topic actually to talk about. You guys ever feel like you're being watched by the client? And some of you probably are. I don't think any of my customers ever actually care enough to watch me mow grass. No, that's not true. My fiance's grandparents love to watch me. They love to watch me mow the grass. They're just watchers. They're people that just like to sit out on the deck, get the patio furniture out, and they'll just watch me and my brother mow the grass. And you know, even when we're out of eyesight, they're still like out there sitting. So they're just enjoying their fresh cut grass now that it's finally done. And I don't blame them. I mean, you're spending money on it, right? It's like when you buy something for the first time and you want to admire it. And then eventually you're just like, yeah, whatever. It's just another thing in the corner, right? But when you first buy it, man, that thing is the coolest thing that you've ever bought. And so we only have her probably that watches when we mow. Otherwise, out of our 60 other clients, I don't have anybody that comes out. Not one other old lady, but I actually haven't been to her this year. It's been one that my dad has done. And she's like a monthly property. Her grass just like literally does not grow. But yeah, is anybody out there? Let me know on or message me on Instagram. And you know, this would be a good time to segue to that real quick. We'll talk about, or we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll keep talking about this. Hey, landscaper, you enjoying the show? Wish you could contribute in some way? Leave a 5-star rating and follow the show. Your reviews go a long way in the success of our podcast, and we greatly appreciate your time and value your opinion. Let us know what you love most about the podcast. If you're a landscaper with a story to tell, DM us on Instagram at Lawn Care Together. You might hold the key to changing someone else's business forever. We'd love to share your story. Now, let's get back to the show. Alrighty, welcome back. So, do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like I said, I have two people that probably watch us, but I don't have anybody else. And I really want to know, does anybody have anybody that watches them? We probably, like I said, out of 60 customers, don't have anybody that watches us besides those two. But I know that there's customers out there that just stare at you the entire time. And I want to know what kind of pressure that puts on you. What do you think about that? And how do you feel? Do you not like it? Do you like it? You know, do you have that kind of relationship with your customers that it doesn't really matter if they watch you? And you know, what do you think their reasoning is behind it? Now, I would gander to think that they probably just want to make sure you're doing a good job, but they're also probably intrigued by the equipment. I know that that's a lot of the times our case is like when I come up with like these zero turns, and now that we got the bigger ones, the Skag Cheetah 2 and the Wright ZK, these things are monsters, right? Compared to the little on track that these people are used to seeing. And it cuts the time, and they're just in like awe. They're in amazement to see what these like our BR800 leaf blower can do compared to their like corded leaf blower that they have that they spend 16 hours in the course of 4 days trying to mow or trying to blow the leaves off in the fall, and we get it done in like 12 minutes. Like, it's crazy. And so it just, they're in amazement of what they see and how like you can get something done in 15 minutes. But at the same time, the reason you can get it done in 15 minutes is because you have the equipment. That's something that I think I'm going to talk about in the next podcast. But like, people don't realize, like, we charge a man hour rate, right? But do you charge a premium then? Because you're now charging for not just you, but your equipment that you purchased. You know, you spend $15,000 on a brand new mower nowadays, and you expect me not to charge you more for that, for man hour, versus if I was push mowing, or if I was, you know, using a lawn tractor, or if I was using a residential mower like we did last year. You know, we have grown as a company over the last year. We have acquired equipment. It is outright making us, you know, probably four times the amount of money that we had last year. And so it's amazing. And our company is growing this year. It's going to grow even more next year. And I'm excited. You know, I'm the kind of guy, I'm looking 4 years out. I'm looking into year five for the business, year six for the business. That's where I see, you know, us being the most profitable, us having the most amount of lawns, us having the most route density that we actually can, and us just being a big name in the area. We already have people telling us like, oh, we've seen your trucks around. And like, let me tell you, the only trucks we have are mine and my dad's. And so they're like, oh, I see you everywhere. Like, no, you don't. You just think you do. We don't have our trucks wrapped or anything. We just have magnets. And actually, now that I think about it, my dad's magnets have fallen off. So I'm going to have to buy some more. Small expense though. And so for those of you who don't like magnets, I understand, but it's better than nothing, right? And so I use my truck to go to work every single day. My dad uses his truck to go to work every single day. So we need to have a removable option. And we don't have a work truck right now. Like, we haven't purchased a company truck yet. So once that happens, yeah, maybe we'll get that wrapped. We want to get the trailer wrapped, but we also haven't gotten to that yet because everything's just so expensive right now. We don't want to focus our money on something that we don't need to. We're getting lots of calls. We actually have more work than we can really handle right now. And so what's the sense in putting up the billboard on the side of the trailer, which again was half the reason we bought the trailer, but what's the sense of putting it up to try to bring in more work when we can't accept more work right now? Well, and that depends on who you ask to. If you ask me, that's the answer you're going to get. But if you ask my dad, he's really trying to squeeze in everything he can. Because, you know, the more we get, the more jobs we have, the more jobs we have, the more reasoning we have to hire somebody or get my brother to really focus in and be full-time and not just kind of like a part-time thing. And so we'll see as we develop and as we progress here in the next, you know, month or so, and then where it leads us into the end of the year. I told you the other day, did a first-time cut in, I think it was like June 16th. And that's ridiculous because, you know, you had all of March, well, the end of March, you had April, you had May, you had the beginning of June, and now almost to the end or halfway through June, you're calling us and it's been 3.5 to 4 months where you knew you were going to need a lawn care guy this year. They definitely didn't just buy the property. It was just something that they neglected at this point. And the place looked abandoned when you pull up to it because the grass wasn't cut. You know, they have a garage, so the cars are in the garage. The only sign of life was the pool floaties out back. And like, I don't know. It's crazy to me that some people can let their grass get so out of control. I mowed mine on, you know, Sunday last week, and I felt like I needed to mow it again on Thursday. Like, or I might have mowed it on Wednesday and I needed to mow it again on Sunday. I don't know, but I'll probably do that today before I actually get started with the mulch and everything, get my lawn done, because you want to make sure that you're not neglecting your own property and, you know, you get the things done that your wife wants done and get the things that are going to be there when you get back. You know, that's the whole make your bed book. It's, you know, having something to come home to, a sense of accomplishment, something that's done, completed, looks good, looks nice. If you think about it, like, if, and Jordan Peterson's the same way, the whole clean your room, make your bed. You make your bed in the morning. That's one small task. And then it makes it easier for you to move on to the next small task. And so you make your day planned out with a bunch of small, accomplishable, tasks. And as you complete them, you check them off, or you can make it a visual thing where you actually check them off, because that gives you a little boost. It's almost like a, you know, for people who smoke cigarettes or, you know, drink alcohol, it's that little endorphin boost. And so you can get that by just checking off a list and making yourself feel better. And then you get addicted to being successful, addicted to being, you know, hyper efficient and, you know, getting tasks done, getting things done. And then that boosts your mood all the time. And, you know, I didn't necessarily want to relate it to cigarettes and alcohol. That's just the first thing I thought of trying to think of addiction. But you can get addicted to good things and bad things. And so what I'm trying to say is get addicted to good things. get addicted to exercise, get addicted to waking up at 5:30 in the morning and watching the sunrise. I missed the sunrise at 5:30 in the morning this morning. It's crazy. I know that time will come that I won't miss it, and it'll come up after that, and it'll go down before I get done with work. And so I want to embrace all of the sunshine that I can get right now. And for those of you down in Georgia and everything like that, and down south and out west, where actually I saw that out west you're getting insane temperatures right now, and I think forest fires are of concern right now. So hopefully, you know, everybody's safe out there and okay, but it's just, the heat is crazy this year. We go from, you know, 50, 60 and windy, and then you go straight into the 90s, and it's just, it doesn't even make any sense. If you're a weather guy, maybe it makes some sense, but I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of the weather. I just know that it's definitely been a crazy year. We are making transitions, I feel like, every season with how extreme the weather can be. And it will eventually make an impact on our entire industry. And so I'm curious to see what that does, because if any of you guys here in the northeast of Pennsylvania, or just northeast in general, if any of you have ever realized, like, and you know, maybe it's nationwide, but or worldwide, if for those of you listening outside of the United States, we definitely have noticed a shift in our seasons. So in my area, we always had four seasons, right? You know, winter, spring, summer, fall. Well, not in that order: spring, summer, fall, winter. But now, like, winter isn't, even though it starts with December 21st or something like that, like, we're not actually seeing snow until almost February sometimes. And so when I was a kid, we used to, there we go with that, when I was a kid again. Jeez. Jeez, Louise. Okay, so back to that though. When I was a kid, we used to have like these storms like in the beginning of December. So late 90s. And so, not to make anybody feel old or young there, I'm starting to feel old, so now I understand. But late 90s, we would have like 4-foot storms or 2-foot storms like back to back, and it would happen regularly. Like, a white Christmas was a normal thing, and now we don't have white Christmases anymore. And I don't want to be talking about snow and upsetting any of you, you know, guys who don't plow or you don't want to think about it right now. But a white Christmas is a thing that we used to do or used to have, and now we don't. And so it's literally 2 months later that it snows sometimes, and then it's cold all the way until we got started a week later this year than we did last year, just because it was rainy and cold. Like, we didn't get above a consistent, you know, ground temperature of 55. And so you need to be like in an area. Well, I'm not saying you need to be in an area, like, you want the grass to be growing before you can start, but we have a 26-week season here, and so that's only half a year. And if we lose any of that, like, you know, there goes even more time than what you would be doing consistently throughout the year. Like, who knows if you're going to be able to save up enough and get enough done in 24 weeks or 22 weeks or 20 weeks. And at the same time, you know, it's still 26 weeks, and what's happening, well, hopefully, and we'll see at the end of the year, right? But what's happening is our seasons are shifting, is what I'm trying to get at, is everything's 2 months later. So we got started, you know, a week or two later than we would normally get started. But we also are probably going to go a week or two later into November. It's going to be like 80 degrees in November now, and it'll be optimal for us to be able to, you know, maybe get some aeration overseeding done, get some just basic, well, I don't know if anyone's going to want to put down sod or anything like that. Yeah, everybody knows what's good and what's bad to put in spring and fall, and we'll figure that out if we don't. But otherwise, like, it's just, there's jobs that can get done, landscaping stuff, and those timelines where it starts to get a little bit colder, and then the grass cutting, lawn mowing is a great thing for late spring, early fall, all summer, right? Unless grass starts to die out in summer. If it's too hot, then you got to be a little bit careful. That's a good time if you ever want to offer other services to your customers in the middle of summer when it gets too hot and the grass isn't growing. Like, hey, listen, you're a weekly schedule. I'm going to cut you bi-weekly because I'm actually damaging the grass if I cut this weekly. But make sure that you're watering it. It's going to be key to it staying survive or staying alive. And then also, like, do you want me to do some hedge trimming in the meantime? Like, I'll still keep you on my route this week. Do you want me to, you know, maybe refresh in the mulch a little bit? It's starting to look a little bit depleted. It's starting to compact a little bit. It's starting to fade in color a little bit. You know, sell them on it. Like, they might not notice. Bring it to their attention. And when you do that, they'll be like, you know what? Yeah, like, I appreciate that. Like, if you're not going to be mowing, I was going to spend the money anyway. I might as well spend a little bit more and make my house look 10 times better than if I was just cutting the grass. There's options out there to increase, you know, the revenue that you have bringing in, and then increase the trust that your customer has with you as well, because you're offering services and you're looking like the expert. And we are the experts in our industry. Even if you don't know a lot, you're more of an expert than the customer probably is. And that's why they called you. That's why they're calling you. And that's why they need a lawn care guy. So I think I'm going to wrap this up. We're at about a half hour of actual record time. I hope everybody, like I said, has a phenomenal, phenomenal Monday. Go out there, get that bag this week, and, you know, cash in as much as you can. Don't work too hard, but work hard enough. Just kidding, actually. Bust your butt and work as hard as you possibly can, because you can work now. Who knows if you're going to be able to work one day, right? And so make that money and push yourself to be as successful as possible, because if you put in the work now, down the line, you're going to thank yourself, because you're going to be uber successful. And that's what the goal is. So good luck with this week. I will have another podcast hopefully coming out every single day this week. I'm going to try. They're going to be a little bit shorter than this one. They're more like those 15-minute truck episodes that I can really get out, or 15 minute in the morning and then quickly edit it. But for now, you know, I had enough time today. I woke up at 5:30, you know, fed the animals and made sure that I could get down here to record this episode. And so I hope everybody has a great week. Thank you so much. And thanks for listening to the Lawn Care Together podcast. This is your host, Alex Counterman, checking out. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Lawn Care Together podcast. All the tips, tricks, and advice given on the show is what has worked for us and may not necessarily fit your business. We urge you to carefully evaluate the decisions you make in your business to ensure you are always on the right path to success. With that being said, we hope we've provided you with some valuable information that can help you grow quickly, increase your efficiency, and avoid mistakes. Business isn't easy, so don't forget, you're doing a great job.